Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What's happening, y'all? It's KC Smith. It's Tyler Jones. This is The Element Podcast brought to you by First Light Gear. It is element season. I don't know if y'all know that right now, but we out there in them elements.
In size our elements. On.
That's right, dude. Getting it on the size on over here, man. Like, it is a hype time of year. I want y'all to understand that between Tyler and I, a number of deer have gone down already this year. I can't quite tell you what number yet. Oh. We're going to get into that. But it's been quite a few. And it is fun, man. It's a good time. Y'all know this because I've been saying it's getting close to deer season for like 4 or 5 months now. I say it a lot because I just anticipate this time of year so much.
Yeah.
And I kind of look forward, honestly, to maybe a time when I can look forward to more stuff. Like, I have a blessed life right now. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I kind of miss anticipating fishing season a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't really get to do that anymore. It's just like I get to fish when I can breathe, you know?
Yep.
But I hope to do that a little bit. But right now, I ain't worried about it because this is like, if you're listening to the Element Podcast, there's a high likelihood that you plan out parts of your life for the next 3 months that we are in right now. What about you, Tyler?
I mean, I would say it's almost time for our annual It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year podcast. Like, it's very close, right? But I almost have this this kind of debate going on in my mind right now. Is this the most wonderful time of the year? Because the anticipation is pretty much as good to me. I almost like the anticipation better than just doing the thing. Like, I don't know. There's something about, like, as you're doing something. Think about this. If you've ever hunted a target buck on a private piece, say, and you hunt him for 2 years maybe, and that second year, about November 4th, he runs through, you grunt stop him, smoke him, watch him fall. There's an awesome excitement, but there's also this weird, like, oh, it's over. Kind of hurts, hurts to think about, like, now what? You know, this kind of lost feeling, a weird thing, you know? Well, that's the way it is on November 4th, either way, a little bit, as far as the season goes. You start getting to, like, man, you know, it's the end of November 4th. Tomorrow's the 5th. This thing's flying by on me. And then you just kind of had this, like, sad feeling. And so, like, late October is almost the best. It's the most wonderful time of year, you know, maybe. Like, because it's still ahead of you. You still have the anticipation. You still have the target bucks that are showing up every day, and that might be bigger and bigger every day. So it's just like, I almost would say it's the most wonderful time of the year. But that's just a little thing I was thinking as we were going through. You know, the rut is the most wonderful time of the year. It's what we anticipate. But I think the anticipation should not be overlooked, you know.
No, man. The deer in the woods all the time, too. So that also helps. we are looking forward to some good times because we found a way to get us an old Texas deer lease.
All right.
Which is finally something I haven't had since, I'm going to say, let me do a little math. The fall of 2004, I think, is the last time I was on a deer lease.
Michael was four.
Yeah, barely. He looked one back then.
Yeah, yeah,
he looks young, you know.
Now
so
he looks two.
Yeah, that's it. So, went out and did a little prep for that this past week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's one of those things that we are anticipating a lot because we're going to get to do the whole, like, we didn't call it deer camp growing up. It's kind of like how, you know, you talk about this a lot where you didn't call them whitetails growing up. You just called them deer.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't call deer camp deer camp. It was just like a thing that we did.
You just went deer,
like,
hunting.
You never acknowledged the fact that you were at deer camp. I never thought about it when I was a kid. It was like a the practicalities of it was a thing.
Like, yeah, it's like you got to have a place to stay.
Yeah, the place that we went to whenever we had that deer lease in El Dorado, it was an old goat milking barn. And we pulled our pop-up camper that was not weatherproof into this goat milking barn and set it up in there, and that was deer camp. But we never acknowledged that it was a thing. It was just the place we slept when we were at the deer lease.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's at the same time, it's where all the fun stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are a lot of good memories down there.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a lot of that this fall.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
So it's going to be kind of just more insight for y'all into what we do, like, kind of how do you say it? Just make sure that there's some fun involved with mm-hmm. some of the stuff we put out on YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would say, let's see, it's probably been, so I've been on deer leases mm-hmm. that, like, my dad's friend had or something in college when I was in college. I shot my second buck on one of that guy's deer leases, but we weren't on the lease necessarily. It was just like open standing invite to come mm-hmm. whenever we wanted. So we'd go a few times a year. It was really fun. But as far as like a lease that me or my dad has paid for a Texas place or found a way to hunt, right? Like to get the permission. It has been since I was like junior high, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a long time. So they just kind of, I don't know. It just got that was probably about the time that things really started to change economically for Texans, maybe, and people were doing well, and the way that businesses were spending money was on deer leases and those kind of things.
Yeah,
and
we got priced out. Know. That was like why we didn't have deer lease anymore. And then mm-hmm. it was like football kind of ramped up for me because I can remember.
Yep, that was me too.
That fall, the last fall we had that lease, I believe I was an eighth grader. And so we would be down there, and this is silly, like middle school stuff to do, right? But I was like, I have to work out while I'm here. I can't miss anything, you know? So I would put a 50-pound bag of corn on my back and do push-ups.
All right.
And, like, squat with that thing and stuff while I was there.
I mean, when I was 22, I don't think I could have done that. Well, so.
I was a unique eighth grader. You know? the people were talking to me about D1 stuff as an eighth grader, and ends up I barely got to start whenever I was a senior. You know, so, and then you were kind of the inverse of that.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's a baby boy. Look like Michael.
Oh man.
But anyway, that's it's been a while, and I'm actually real stoked about it now. You went out there recently and kind of got things going for us out there. Mm-hmm. Just kind of the thing that you do when you have a lease in Texas, man. You went out, got some feeders, put some feeders up. These big old 450-pound ranch series feeders, right?
Yeah, from Moultrie.
Yeah.
They're pretty legit, man. They're like I don't know. It's actually the biggest feeder I've ever put out. I always grew up just putting up, you know, 50-gallon barrel feeders.
Yep.
And it's like you put that thing in there. And the timer's cool because it tells you you put in, like, your feed times as far as, like, the length of spin, you know, and how many times you do it. And, you know, twice a day pretty much is what we do. Nothing fancy. And then it tells you how many feed days you have remaining on your feeder, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
75 days is what we have from yesterday, which covers the extent of deer season, which is pretty
really
nice. Yeah, as long as there's no coons or anything getting there, and they got a big old coon cage on.
Surely rifle season will go on past that, right?
Well, probably.
I feel like I mean, like, it's the longest rifle season in the entire history of the world.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to go try to shoot a spike, though, in Texas on January 4th or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I ain't too worried about that.
I would on some public land, maybe.
Yeah, I have. I have been known to. Yeah.
Just for meat, though, not for the horns.
Has a decent amount of deer, a decent amount of pigs. I mean, it still remains to be seen. It's on a pretty good drainage, so it should have some bucks around. We hung cell cameras out there, which is real handy whenever it's a long way from the house. And then
give you that FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, how fast can I drive 7 hours or whatever it is, you know? Like, there's a lot of turkeys. Like, a lot of turkeys.
Turkey full
like
place.
A whole bunch of turkeys. So, I'm already kind of, you know, that anticipation you're talking about.
Yep.
Looking forward to a little turkey action, you know what I mean? A
little fly fishing, a little turkey calling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so yep. That's kind of something we've been working on this year really hard. We've been wanting to do that for forever. And just finding a place that's either, well, it's got to have two attributes. It's got to be decent country for us to want to spend some money on it, and it's got to be somewhat affordable, you know. So to find the two things that match up can be difficult. So because those places are typically, like, I mean, I'm telling you, these guys will get 10-20 year leases on those things, and it's hard to find them when they come available. So
There's we're gonna be doing some pretty cool stuff as far as video stuff goes from out there as well. We're going to have some emphasis on, you know, the camp side of stuff. Might even have a celebrity guest out. And not from, like, the Meteor crew or anything.
You mean either. Mark Kenyon?
No, it's not. That didn't qualify. Some of you out there might be in tune with some of the stuff going on in the Major League Baseball world right now. The Rangers and the Astros are doing some battling out there.
Battle Royale.
That's all I'm going to say. There might be someone involved with some of that. Who knows?
We're going to try, man. It's hard to match up schedules with them dudes.
I know.
You know?
But
you're talking about Juan Gonzalez?
Yeah. Dude, Rusty Greer versus Juan Gonzalez. That's what we're going to do out there.
Pudge would be like dream come true, man. Come on, Pudge. If you listen to this thing, come home with me, man.
It's funny how, like, you pick your, like, Major League Baseball heroes when you're a kid, because, like, I didn't have anything against Pudge. I just wasn't a Pudge guy.
Yeah.
He was kidding me. He's cool.
Best
whatever.
Catcher of all time.
Yeah. Supposedly. I don't know. I don't remember. But how do they determine that?
Stats.
Like, what stats? Like, pass
Batting
balls?
Batting average.
Oh, so yeah, his like offense
all of
goes
it, yeah.
into that?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's cool.
Of course, you know, there's always arguments, right? It's the MJ, LeBron thing, like, different eras.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that our redheaded camera guy will have something to say about that.
Probably.
I think he's got some obscure Cardinals player from whenever to throw out there. But
Yachty for sure would, you know, he'd be a legit contender, I think. But for Eric, you know, there probably is nobody better in this entire – like, nobody – I don't know if, you know, he'd rather meet anybody.
I don't know, man. Definitely not a girl. No, I'm kidding.
No,
dude.
You're not.
I'm kidding. I love you, Eric. You just got to get out there and talk to him. That's all, man. He's going to hate me.
He ain't going to listen to it.
Eric, he can't meet a woman because he's spending so much time in the woods hunting right now.
That's right, man. He's such a good hunter.
He is, man. He's getting after
it. Hard hunter.
He saw him some bucks today.
He did. He had a toad at 10 yards.
They've been doing some deer camp stuff elsewhere, and you thought you were going to do a little deer camp stuff yourself as well recently. We're going to do a little public land expedition, but
it was expedited.
Things went crazy, Tyler.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
What's going on? We went and did a little, like I said, a little expedition, try to travel around and do some different things every year and hunt some different stuff in Texas. Just, you know, not necessarily places I haven't been, because we've been to a lot of places as far as public stuff.
And we still check stuff off the list. But if you have listened to The Element or followed what we do for very long, you know some times between like 2018 and 2020 that we did our best to go to every piece of public ground that we could find in the state. So if you ever send us a message and you're like, hey, have you ever checked this out? The answer is yes. But I'm probably not going to tell you a lot about it because that's just not the right thing to do, man. Like, yeah. I mean, I can – here's the deal, guys. This transitions into something pretty good for us. We've been doing some Q&A podcasts here lately, and it's a great place for us to all hang out and chat about, like, some tactics stuff and some maybe logistics-type things, you know, camping, rut tactics is the one that's coming up soon. If you have any rut tactics questions that you want to talk about, especially maybe some of the southern-type stuff, or we've hunted the north in the rut, too, and actually Tyler and I were just talking about maybe a little bit of more northern rut hunting this year. Who knows? You never know what we might just get into.
Wisconsin.
But Buffalo County. Where was I going with that? It's just not the thing to do to talk about specific pieces of public land.
Yeah.
And
we've done it before. People didn't like it.
Yeah.
Map Scout Challenge.
Yeah, Map Scout Challenge was interesting.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. Yeah. You can learn a lot from that too if you go watch it. So if you want to see me look a lot younger, you can go watch that. What was
wow.
that?
Wow.
Something
no
went crazy in the house. Like a .22 pistol off in here.
Probably my broom or something.
Probably. Yeah, it did sound like a broom falling. Yeah, yeah man, you're pretty
got
that. Good at that.
I got that sonic
got that
awareness.
Acute hearing. Yeah, for real.
Frequencies,
so,
man.
So, Tyler, there are a lot of ruts in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on Rut Fresh a while ago. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're hosting the Rut Fresh radio podcast over on the Wired and Hunt feed. Go listen to that if you need to get some up-to-the-minute information about where you're at in the country for what the bucks are doing in your area. Tyler held it down this week because I was on the road going to the deer lease and doing a bunch of stuff. So he had some really cool guests, actually. Tyler Jordan's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Some other
Mike Hunsucker.
Yeah, man. Big hitters. Michael, guys that know what they do.
Michael Hunsucker. I don't know. I always see people call him Michael a lot, but, you know, Mike's just way easier to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't call ours Michael either.
He wants to be called Michael, and I call him Mike sometimes and I feel bad about it.
He's all right.
If people call me Ty, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
My wife calls me Ty all the time.
People call me Casey.
People call me old Snaggletooth and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, if you go to YouTube comments, you can find all kinds of names for me, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
So, Tyler did a great job on Rut Fresh this week. Go listen to it if you haven't. that all ties into the fact that Texas is a huge state. We are the second biggest landmass as far as states go, right? California's right there close, but right behind us. We have way more whitetails than they do, so that's why we're cooler, amongst other things.
Way more thriving
business.
There
are whitetail does getting bred in September, and there are whitetail does in Texas that will be bred in February. And that is something that makes the hunting landscape in this state very unique. Mm-hmm. Because we have a lot of different ecoregions and a lot of different things going on. And if you play your cards right and you figure out some stuff about deer in different areas of the state, you can find some rut action in some unique time periods mm-hmm. that doesn't interfere with some of your other stuff.
Yep.
And so that's something that we've been trying to target the last few years. And Tyler, what have you got figured out?
Well, if you've ever been to California, it's much different in San Diego than it is in Redwood State Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know. Are those things even close together? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never been to California.
Redwoods are up north in the northern part of the state. San Diego's down south.
Where's the sequoias at?
Giant sequoias are like central eastern California, I think.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. So
this is one thing. Went to college?
This is one thing that KC. This is the thing. When you talk about California, Alaska, Texas, it's okay to be like central eastern,
mm-hmm.
but KC does not like it when Eric says central eastern Illinois,
mm-hmm.
because that entire state fits in the 903 area code here in Texas. Probably, mm-hmm.
That's
so,
true.
anyway, it's I think my point is. That it's okay to divvy up Texas. If you've never been here, you don't understand maybe, but this place is huge. I mean, it takes 13 hours to get to El Paso from here, you mm-hmm. know? So, essentially, what you have to do is keep in mind that when we say Texas is diverse, it's because it's like going to different states, you know? And so, even within your own state, if you think there's diversity, then you can imagine what I'm saying makes sense. Mm. And so
there's kind of two ways to get diversity on a landscape. You can either gain elevation or you can go
north and south.
North, south, east, west. Mm. So, like, the further you go west in most of the continental U.S., the more arid it becomes until you get across the Sierra Nevadas. The same thing goes for north and south. The further you go north, the more luscious it gets. The further you go south, it gets a little more arid until you end up kind of pushing through like that Sonoran Desert area, and you get, further south than the U.S., you get to tropical zones. Mm-hmm. But either way, Texas has a lot of north and south and east and west,
yep.
and some topography change.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about Denver being the Mile High City, but Amarillo is like 4,700 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't far behind it.
Yeah. So with that, we do have a lot of different ruts and different deer herds and those kind of things. So we can run into, depending on just kind of weather, some pretty good rut action at certain times of the year. And so we try to travel around and hit some of those. Doesn't always work. And sometimes we can't just go hit a rut. We're going to go hunt a place that we hunt a lot. We're going to hunt it this year again. And it's going to be probably not the peak of the rut when we're there. Just because we'd probably be other places, mm-hmm. So it just happens that way a lot of times. But we like to travel around and find places where deer will move around and stuff. So anyway, I made an expedition. HTH decided to come hang out with me as well and hunt. And so he was actually going to bring like some camping stuff for us to pop up and go to camping. And anyway, so we meet. And I took young Michael as a camera guy with me, and we decide to go out. We had some cameras that were running on this place, and I think we had seen an increase in movement the day before or so on these cameras. But I think we had tested that too, mainly was this cooler weather. And so you'll hear on Rut Fresh, if you listen to it, a lot of the same sentiments from across the country where there was a good, nice cold front that hit a bunch of the country, and mm-hmm. it not just, you know, most of the country, it just made the deer like daylight that weren't daylighting, or it made them just a little more just on their feet in the day. And it made deer that were closer to ruts do a little more rutty type stuff. But, well, when we were going to this place that day, there was a, you know, there was raccoons moving everywhere. There were deer out. Even that night, we saw tons of deer out on the road and stuff. But I didn't see any chasing. I didn't see any does hanging out with bucks on camera that made me think that they were getting trailed or anything like that. But I just know it's getting close. Mm-hmm. And with that cold front, things are happening. Testosterone's still increasing. And so, anyway.
Well, one of the things that people don't always think about with rut, and this is actually one of the great things about the Rut Fresh podcast that we do, one of the few great things, Mark, don't give yourself too much credit, but is that, like, yeah, there is this thing that's like the breeding of does, but whitetails go through a large cycle in the fall, pretty much from like velvet off until antler drop. And this is why the Rut Fresh nomer makes sense. It's like, there's something kind of going on, right? And like scrapes starting to pop up, or when deer are making rubs out of aggression, that starts pretty early. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see some of that already.
Well, and we see in the South especially, we see second cycle does getting bred and stuff. Like, I mean, you'll see deer every year, fawns that are like big, with another family group that comes in on your trail camera. This would be like September, October, with one that has spots on it. And it's like, those were like at least a month or two apart, you know, at least. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying is, things are weird and different in the South because they don't need to hit that window, that short window to survive as a species, really. So anyway, we were feeling good about this trip. It's just, you see a couple of raccoons like walking around in the daylight. It's like something's happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? And anyway, the wind is blowing good. It's a pretty good direction. So we got a northerly wind, and it's blowing like 15. So good for noise, you know, covering your noise going in, and even your just movement as you go in. And we walk in and like, we start getting pretty close to where we've got this camera set, and we're wanting to hang right in there. And we bust two deer over the course of like 10 minutes. But we only had moved like 30, 40 yards total.
Yeah.
Because we were working on what tree to get into.
We did some hog hunting the week before, and we're kind of under the impression that it wasn't going to be a good acorn year, that the hard mast was not going to be a thing. And suddenly we start walking around and figuring out that there are some pockets that are holding a lot of acorns.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the big things in certain parts of this state is, if you can get on that hot mast, it's rocking and rolling because it becomes like a deer hub. And like what you're saying, they have everything they need in that one place pretty much. And you got deer that are bedding just right where they're going to eat and hang out all night and do all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's – and what's weird is one thing that – makes me think of that is that camera that I didn't have a lot of faith in that I hung. There was some overcups dropping in there that were hammered. Dude.
Yeah.
And that was about the only acorns I saw. You know, there was a few other little pockets, like you said, but like that was a place where I was like, oh, there's a bunch.
Since then, there's been pigs like every night.
They're vacuuming it up, you know? And then when we go in and we spook these two deer in there, I find out later that afternoon watching deer that, they're browsing some sort of like forb in there. I can see them. I don't know what it is either, because there's that, I guess, the stuff that I'm real allergic to is that bloodweed.
That's what I call bloodweed. Okay. And it's not like, it ain't putting off the pollen hardcore yet, but at some point in time it really starts dumping pollen and it's bad.
It's the worst. It's the worst. I will just seize up pretty much. But anyway, they're not eating that. There ain't no way.
No.
And I haven't seen them eat it. I've seen
nothing
them pick through it.
Nothing wants to touch that.
No, it's the worst, dude. It probably tastes like if you were to eat a suede suit or something, you know?
From Goodwill.
From Goodwill. Yeah, I hadn't been washed in 10 years. But that they're picking through stuff in there, and I cannot tell what it is because, you know, there's like that, like a lot of you see it in like floodplains and stuff sometimes around creeks or whatever, but there's this grass. It's like a foot tall to maybe 16, 18 inches tall, and it's just like this fibrous grass. They ain't eating that either.
No.
And so I don't know what it is. I could not figure it out, but I could see them picking through as these does would walk through.
Mm-hmm.
So they make their way, right? Those deer survive every year, whether there's acorns or not. The acorns are what they want. That's primary, but they're making a living in there somehow. And so anyway, we go in there, we get in this tree. It's the world's loudest tree. It's like an elm with like a shag bark. I mean, it's weird. It's got like, it's not, you know, quite as shaggy as a shag bark hickory, but like it's not good. I mean, just sticks are sliding up and down it, crunching everything. Michael's down on the ground just trying to figure out how to get out of the rainstorm of bark, you know. And anyway,
dude, it cracks me up to like look down when you're, because the way we do stuff is the hunter pretty much does all the hanging, and the camera guy just gets to come up the tree.
Yeah.
But I'll look down sometimes, and that camera guy's just looking right up the tree. And it's like, dude, I know stuff's falling in your eyes. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I know. But anyway, so I get this thing hung. It's a pretty good tree, really. Once we get up there, like, it's got a couple little limbs that are set in pretty good places that aren't going to block me off. I got good shots. One thing that you don't want to do in a lot of places is have a big old bushy tree right beside you, because it's blocking. You know, it may only be 10 foot across on the crown, but it's at that point it's blocking like 80 degrees of your field of view. You know,
yeah,
you just can't. You can't do that. So if you can make it work, anyway, we spent a long time picking this tree and it was good. We get up probably like 16 foot, and I mean, I'm like almost done setting up, and I hear something walking, and I'm telling Michael, I'm like, hey, something's walking. I hear something walking. I start hearing it again, and I'm looking. I'm like, look in this direction or whatever, kind of out to my left, and I keep hearing it, and it's getting closer, and I'm like, maybe it's not coming from that direction. I turn around, and it's 180 degrees the other direction, which happens a lot in the woods.
That's right, man. The 180 at the back of your head is hard to determine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good to, like, elk hunt or turkey hunt with a few people.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it was a nubbin buck. Comes through, and doesn't spend a whole lot of time in the area, but browses around a little bit and whatever that forb is and carries through, and then I was able to get my jacket on after that, because it was starting to get kind of cold, you know, and I'm kind of a wuss when it comes to cold now. So I usually layer up pretty early on so I don't have to do it when deer are around, you know. Well, that deer comes back with a doe, like a mama doe, later on, and they start coming through, and all of a sudden, it's starting to get pretty prime time, right? And I told Michael after that first one came through, I was like, hey, 45 minutes, we're fixing to kill that buck in here, and that we've been seeing on camera. And, you know, I'm just kind of hyping. And it feels like the right day. And so all of a sudden, those deer are coming through, and they're at like 25 yards. And I see the fawn, like, go alert and looking up to some thick stuff to the kind of north of me. And I was like, is that deer looking at another deer? On a windy day, they do that quite a bit, you know, and then they'll just shake it off, look. But I was like, that thing's been pretty intent, and it's been sitting there for 10 seconds doing that. And so as I'm sitting there thinking that, all of a sudden Michael goes, there's a buck. And I was like, oh. I said, a buck? He goes, well, I can't see its antlers, but its body looks like a buck. And I was like, oh, that's a good sign, you know? I mean, because, you know, it's not just a small buck at that point, probably. Like, this deer is probably three or bigger. So I'm getting excited, you know, and I don't get my bow because these deer are close to me. I look back at, and now the doe is alert too. And I'm like, oh, this is good, you know? So it's coming. And turns out Michael had heard a grunt. That's why I looked that direction.
Really?
Yeah. And so and I never heard it. Well, then he's like, I just heard a grunt or says something like that, you know. And I was like, And all of a sudden, bah. I was like, oh my.
That'll
it
freak
was
you
loud,
out.
Dude.
Yeah.
It was loud. And I couldn't see it. I mean, this is typical East Texas. We talk about it all the time, but like, you want to film in East Texas, dude, you can't get footage.
Yeah. All you need is 24 to 70.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dude, this deer is at like 45 yards and I cannot see it. And I probably about 35 to 40 was the first time I saw it. And he's coming in. I can't see him still. And all of a sudden he kind of breaks out at like 35 and just bah, loud. I was like, oh my goodness. And it was a toad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a deer that I had some experience with and had actually passed the year before. And I passed him because, not because I didn't want to shoot him, not because he was too small, but because I didn't think he would make the antler restrictions that we have. And so I didn't think he would go 13 inches. They have to be 13 inches wide in a lot of the counties in Texas to be legal to be shot. So it's helped our bucks be bigger and older in our herd, but it also prevents you from being really excited and being able to shoot deer sometimes.
Yep.
And so in that case, I decided to pass him. When you film your stuff, you can't get away with things, and not that I want to anyway, but I'm just saying, you pretty much are incriminating yourself by filming what you do.
Yeah,
if you mess
also,
up, you know,
like,
what I mean?
This is kind of the insight that makes things weird for us sometimes, but there's this aspect of like, you waste a lot of resources if you shoot a deer that's 12 and 7/8 and you can't air that footage.
you
would like not only likely get a citation, but then like, well, you can't put the footage out because you did something that's supposedly wrong.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, there's a lot of pressure.
We have to err pretty on the side of doing things way right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can't just be like close. It's gotta be, we try to do things very by the book because there's just no, I mean, this is what we've wanted to do our whole lives. Yeah. We don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
You know
by the way, I got pulled over last night.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Trailer?
One of the lights set on the trailer.
Oh.
Yep.
That ain't fun.
Gave me a warning. So
that's nice.
Nice guy.
I guess.
Yeah, he just misled, that's all. But he also was like, hey, one of your registration lamps or something. I don't know. One of the license plate lights was out. And I'm like, don't you just have to have one of those? And he's like, no, you have to have both of them. So that's a law that's made to just be able to give you a ticket or give you a reason to pull somebody over.
Because
if your license plate is illuminated, I don't care what's the matter if you got one light or 10 lights.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way to pull people over.
Yeah.
Oppression.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this bug is grunting coming
in. Back to the bug. You know what I'm really good at is distracting from the main point. I'm sorry. I'll turn my mic off.
No, it's good. It's good. The people need to know, man. So the buck is coming in, and I recognize him. He's a very recognizable rack because he's got it's kind of weird. It's not like he doesn't have like smooth curves to his rack. He's all kind of like, you know, disjointed, like he grew straight this way and then kind of curved up and went this way and then back that way. And
he's a unique animal. It's like you see a person that's like got some, you know, how do you say that? That's going to sound rude.
Their fingers are all messed up.
There's people with facial features that they're not unattractive people, but they're like unique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you see somebody like that, then you're like, oh, wow. That's what that buck is kind of like, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example of a person that's like that.
Yeah. This is probably isn't the greatest example, but like Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
All right. He is like a recognizable person. Still looks like a person.
Yeah.
But like, they know a lot of people look like him.
Yeah. So this buck is very unique, and he's got he's got the same like 10-point rack that he had the year before. He's got long G4s like he did the year before. He's got long like forward facing main beams that go way out to his nose, just like last year, and he's fairly narrow. But he's going to make the rule this year, and
woohoo!
So passing a deer worked. You know what I mean? Right?
That's right, it
made him bigger and for sure legal, you know? But he's like, just, I guess what I'm saying, he's not narrow necessarily. He's narrow for what he is. He's a monster, but he's just, you know, I mean, I think I've said this on the podcast before. When the rule was a lot more new, one of my buddies and I had a lease up in Oklahoma in college, and he shot a 10 point that went 148. This is a big deer, right? He was 12 6/8 wide or something like that. He did not make the 13-inch rule. You know what I mean?
It's wild.
Yeah.
But what is interesting about that, too, is that, like, I was talking about this with Greg yesterday or the day before. Deer don't change a ton antler-wise. Like, I have some friends, we'll just leave them anonymous, who think that, like, a deer can be a tight 8-point this year and a wide 10 next year, and that just hardly ever happens.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, they carry characteristics usually.
Yeah, I mean, you look at places like in South Texas. I had never been there, but I hear that Kerr, like at their headquarters down there, you know, where that they have like a bunch of pin deer and they keep up with all the sheds. Like they have just walls of just deer through the years, you know, like a deer 1 to 7 or something. And they look almost the same all the way through. So like to what I was getting at is that you could have a deer potentially that is just that 12 to 14 inch wide deer his whole life. If he gains too much mass, he's going to dip down below again. That's where it gets kind of scary. You know, like he was like borderline, and then all of a sudden as a five-year-old, he kind of gets more massive, and he's like 12 7/8 now. You know, it's well, like very weird.
And on that note, this deer is a thin deer. Like he just has thin – he had thin antlers last year, and he's thin this year. He's, I mean, so you guys – might get to see this footage pretty soon. And spooky. You'll get to, I'm going to put some of the footage of him from last year in there too. So that you can see how recognizable he is. And so anyway, he's grunting, he's walking in, these does get freaked out. They're like, this boss buck is coming in here to do things that I don't want to do right now. You know what I mean? And, they take off, dude. Well, guess which way they take off? Right to my feet. That's where they go. And they come out there and literally come to like probably 7 yards, I'd say. I mean, they're just right in my lap. They're right underneath me. Michael, I think, is losing his mind. And I clip on because I'm getting ready to shoot him, right? Well, there's like a – on like where they were at, there's like a little scrape tree looking thing. I think there's a scrape on it. It looks like there's a scrape in the hole of this underneath one of these branches. And then all these like forbs or whatever that they've been feeding on around there. So this deer comes to what I'm calling the scrape tree and sticks his nose down and like basically just got his shoulder closed off to me for quite some time and goes to feeding in this forby grassy stuff at some point, and 5 minutes later I still have not shot. And so
it's pre-roll city,
dude. He's still just closed off to me the whole time. Nobody's moved except for the does have barely started walking towards me, which is great. And I'm at this point, it's like, okay,
just towards you from your feet,
like just real four close. More yards and you'll be so far underneath me that you can't see me draw, you know what I mean? And so because they're like 5 yards now, and one of them is right with me, like right even with me on like a 90 to my wind. Well, the other one starts going to the downwind side, and it's not good. She goes under this like leaned over tree, which is a feed tree. Now, this is a really interesting tree. It's a hackberry, and it's completely leaned over, touching the ground on one side. It's a small tree, so it's like it's like bent like a bow down towards the ground. And it has it was the first thing I noticed in this area this year when I walked in. There's a massive browse line all the way around it, and they like hackberry leaves. That deer that's a thing, at least, you know, in most of the eastern half of Texas. Well, this tree is browsed all the way around, and then it has the top of it where they can't reach, has a bunch of hackberry leaves still. So this doe goes under this browse tree, and she starts kind of browsing some of this stuff and messing around or whatever. And meanwhile, she can't see me really because there's so many leaves. So I pretty much knew that this scrape was like 28 yards or whatever. But I wanted to make sure because you start questioning yourself when things are happening. So the little deer gets real close to me. The doe is underneath this thing. So I like grab my rangefinder, I hit him 28. Oh, okay, perfect. Now I'm like, how do I shoot this thing? Because you don't want to shoot high. They're going to jump the string because they're tiny, just Texas mm-hmm. jackrabbits, you know, whatever. And they're amped up because they're public land deer, which, you know, we found to be a definite thing a lot of times, is that those public deer just, they see a lot of people usually. And so they're amped up. Well, I clip back on and I'm thinking about, how do I shoot this thing? And I didn't want a pin gap. And I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to hold my 20, like, mid-body. And I think that at 20, you know, 28 is not, I'm not dropping too much from 20 to 28, but I'm dropping enough that I'm going to smoke this deer, like, when he jumps the string. And so, long story short, he finally opens up, takes a couple of steps, and gives me, he kind of finally pulls his shoulder forward. He takes, like, a step forward with his right. And then also kind of broadsides out a little bit. And I look down, and this doe is like, I don't know, she's getting real close to my wind, but she's kind of come out from the tree. And I was just like, I looked at her, and she was kind of facing away a little bit. I was like, okay, it's now or never. I draw back, and I go to settle on him, and I put my 20 kind of like mid-body, and I look at my 30, and it's like off his body. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So then I pin gapped him. I didn't want to, you know. And I was like, okay. I pin gapped him. So my 20 ends up probably like on the spine, maybe. Mm-hmm. And this is like the anatomical spine, not like the very top of his body. It's where it actually is, which is like, you know, high in the body. And I look at it and I was like, and I've only focused a few times on deer this well. And so I pulled it closer to the shoulder just a touch because I still felt like he was maybe slightly quartered to me. And I pulled it really close to the shoulder, and pin gap was like mid-body, maybe just under the midline. I pulled the trigger, and it happens quick. But the first thing I said as soon as – I mean, you can probably hear me in the footage. I go, ooh, he jumped the string, or he ducked, or whatever I said, because he did. He ducked it pretty good. And then he turns and peels out and goes the other way, and the hole on the other side is, like, just massive. And it's, like, probably mid-body, maybe a little bit under, but pretty much mid-body. And it's a massive hole. And I'm just like, oh, well, he's done for sure. You know, I kind of hit him high on this side, but the other side is pretty good. You know, I was probably 16 foot up, mm-hmm. 28 yards. Like, there's a good little downhill there. And he goes running out probably, like, 40, 50 yards. And then he kind of like, he looked kind of like, you know, he might've been getting weak or wobbly, but I didn't know. He kind of disappears behind this tree, and I'm watching and I'm thinking, oh, he disappeared. I'll have to go track him, you know, but I'm listening for the crash. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he just like side runs across this gap where I last lost him, just like sideways stumbling and smokes this, like, I don't know what it was. I couldn't see it, but it was a loud crash. And I was like, no way, dude. And I looked over at Michael, and Michael, like, I thought he was going to cry. He was laughing his head off so hard that I thought he was going to cry, dude. He thought it was, like, he couldn't believe that we pulled it off, you know. And that deer crashed right there, and we went and recovered him in the daylight, you know, in the last minutes of daylight. A few minutes later, we pulled everything down, went over there, didn't even really need recovery lights. So, I mean, it was just a great night, dude, and it sounds hideous, but I started thinking about it, and I set two mornings in Nebraska. You'll see it. We're fixing to release a video from this on the Element channel, so y'all be looking for it. But I set two mornings that were in the backyard of our Airbnb, and so Casey and I decided not to count those as sits. If you don't count those sits, I have sat four times and shot three bucks this year, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Efficiency, man.
That's spoiled, dude.
Yeah.
Golly, man. Like, I need to, I don't really actually want to, but I need to make sure that I don't just think that it's easy, man, you know.
Go antelope hunting again.
I guarantee you. Hey, and that's why I don't feel that bad about it, because I was right. Like, dude, that antelope hunting was ridiculous, man. You know, so I don't know. I'm just super, super blessed, man, for sure. I mean, I kind of was a little bit speechless because for a second, at least, when I recovered the deer, because I was just like, man, I don't know if I can honestly say, like, that I've, you know, that I've hunted four times and killed three deer. Mm-hmm. It feels like I just, like, bragging on myself. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just a weird thing to try to figure out, like, you know, how to – I was shocked too. Like I was ready to camp and spend some time like figuring this stuff out. And it just like went back into where I'd seen this deer last year, and lo and behold, he's homebody. He's sitting in there. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen it on Instagram, but that's the story. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's pretty cool, man. That Gum Texas public land deer, last one of those I shot was a meat buck in 2019.
It's been 3 years for me, too. Mm-hmm. 2020, I think, was the last year time I shot one. They are hard to come by, man.
Yeah.
That's... You almost killed a monster last year. I mean,
I've had some close encounters.
He was running, you know?
If you'd have
been able to get him stopped, he was in range.
See, that's the thing, dude. You start looking at, and this is kind of encouraging, I think, for a lot of people. And I like to leave stuff on encouraging notes. Since I'm such a pessimistic guy, you know, I got to bring some encouragement back into things. You start looking at, like, success rates on hunts, and it can get, like, real depressing sometimes. Like, when you start applying, like, you know, an elk hunt out west or something, the success rate is, like, 18%. You're like, gosh, man, you tell me only one out of every five guys kills an elk on this hunt? But you have to realize how many people, A, might not be making the best choices in the woods, and then also how many people have the hunt of their life but don't actually kill the animal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
And that's how you can look at that last year. Like, I haven't killed a public land buck since 2019 in Texas, at least. But I don't think of, and I'm probably just full of myself, but I don't think of that I've had bad years in Texas since then. It's just some close encounters and some things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, you just like what you're saying, I kind of forgot about that. But it's like, that's the margin. Like, that deer was in range. He's like 22 yards. But he ran by chasing a doe so fast, I couldn't shoot him. And he would have been the biggest. What did I shoot last year? No, he wouldn't have been the biggest. He'd been the second biggest deer I shot last year, probably, score-wise.
That's wild.
Yeah. If I'd have killed him, you know?
He was a toad. Yeah. I mean, we had trail camera pictures of him, and we were in there hunting him.
Yeah.
But it's just – and that's the Texas public land thing we were talking about earlier, where you can literally – you can't see them till they're 35 yards. Mm-hmm. You can't get them filmed at 50 yards, you know, or whatever sometimes. It's like, man, that's frustrating.
And it's another thing, too, why, like, I'm never going to, like, campaign against the rut, but there's some problems in the rut.
Yeah.
And does are a problem.
Yeah, they
are.
You
know, early season, you can get on bucks, and it's just bucks. Mm-hmm. But, like, in that situation, he chased that doe about near to the base of our tree, and in an effort to get around and try to set myself up for a shot, the doe wigged out and ran
off. That's right. I forgot about that.
And if she hadn't ran off, he wouldn't have been running by.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to at least – you can just go into paralysis mode and be like, don't move because there's a deer. Well, you're never going to kill him if you do that. So you got to try to make moves.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Anyways, this is subtracting from what we were actually talking about, which was your big deer. So congrats on that, man.
Thanks,
it's awesome. I was tied up with our family's been going through some sickness here. And it's not bad, but it's still lingering. And we're like over a week into this thing. And my wife has it right now. So
that ain't fun.
Yeah, it's not. So I was dealing with that evening. So I couldn't kind of come powwow with y'all. It's kind of sad. But it looked like a grand old time.
Well, it's a haul for you to come do that anyway.
Dude,
so
I know, but
it's fun to party though.
It is, man. I just wanted the pizza, you know.
I know.
Did you get pizza yet?
I haven't.
Gosh, we might need to get some pizza soon.
We do. We need to celebrate a few of these bucks.
We
man.
Do, man.
We ate pizza in South Dakota, but it was like 4 days after a kill, so we were delayed pizza eaters there.
Yeah,
but anyway,
DPEs,
dude, perfect eaters. Oh, by the way, I was watching a dude perfect video the other day, last night, and Cody, the big tall guy, he they did a fry challenge to see if he could figure out where these fries came from that he was eating from like fast food and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was like 15 of 15.
Golly, that's pretty good.
That's insane, dude.
I'd like to try that.
Oh, it was all. I would like for you to try it too. I think you'd be pretty good at it.
Maybe,
but I couldn't believe he got them all right, dude.
That sounds fun. I'd 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's
what would be the hardest
too.
To discriminate between. I mean, that's the right word.
I feel like fries would be pretty tough. Like burgers, I mean, you could do pretty well. I think. You
yeah.
know?
I don't know. I'm trying to think that like. Brahms has a crinkle fry, and then there's another one that has crinkle fry. Like, I feel like Brahms and Culver's would be hard to figure out between.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be hard. And here's the other thing. You have to have eaten fast food recently. I haven't eaten a lot of fast food. It's like Burger King fries in my mind are different than what Burger King fries are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
they change them things sometimes.
They do,
you know?
Man. Sneaky, sneaky. But anyways, we're kind of diving off into some stuff that we don't know that much about. Let's get back to them deers. I hope y'all have got a great start going to your season. Remember to have fun out there. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.